We normally get out around 3:30, so we have ample time. We have ample time. Yeah, we normally get out around 3:30, between 3:30 and 4. Oh no, I have an appointment right here. Amen. So, welcome to church, saints. No, I want to, obviously it's Thanksgiving week, and if I'm talking to Christians today, I'm preaching to the choir. And as I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, you know, all kinds of thoughts run through my mind, my head, and I think upon the scripture, and I think that in my mind that an unthankful Christian is an oxymoron. I think to myself that an unthankful Christian is an impossibility. Amen. I think that anyone who knows God, it is impossible for you to be unthankful, because to know God is to know goodness. To know God is to know love, is to know kindness, is to know his grace and his compassion, right? And so in my mind, I think that to myself at the same time, then in my mind, and I titled this message, The Revelation of Thanksgiving, because that being, all that said being true, there are people who are unthankful in this world. Matter of fact, Paul said, when he was writing to, I believe it's Titus or Timothy, 2 Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, and there'll be men will be lovers of themselves, and so forth and so on. And one of the things was unthankful. People will be unthankful. And I mean, we've had it happen. You've done something for somebody before, something that really cost you something, and you did it for them, and you possibly were waiting for, and it never came. And you sit up there holding your breath. And that's why they say, don't hold your breath. Because sometimes it's just not there. It's just not forthcoming, right? But thanksgiving is what we ought to give, amen, to someone, be it God or someone else or some person. Thanksgiving is what we ought to give to someone who has benefited us in some way. And to show that there are times when you could do something just so of such value to someone and them not give you thanks. In Luke chapter 17, I've preached on this a number of times, so I'm not going to preach it again, but Jesus saw 10 lepers. And they all lifted up their voices when they knew who Jesus was and said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they didn't even get to Jesus, but Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't say, be healed. He didn't say, I'm going to have mercy on you. He just gave a command. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now, you don't go show yourselves to the priest unless you are clean. And so they, by faith, had to believe what he said, and they started on their way to the priest. And the scripture says, as they were going. As they were going, the scripture says that they were cleansed of their leprosy, all 10 of them. But one of them turned back. I could preach this today. One of them turned back, and he was a Samaritan. And the scripture says the 9 kept going, but one turned back, and he went back to Jesus and fell at his feet. Says this, giving him thanks. And Jesus said this, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? That taught me something about God. He recognizes when we're unthankful. He sees the ones who are unthankful. Okay? And so he said, is it just this one? And Luke gives us the information that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, he said, go and be whole. He said to the other nine, be healed. But to the one, he said, not only be healed, but be whole. And so when you come to Jesus with thanksgiving, come on, you not only get what you need on the outside, you get what you need on the inside. Be whole, come on. And remember this, remember that the nine went to the Levitical priest, but the one came to the high priest, the Melchizedekian priesthood. They met that high priest who's in the heavens even today. He met our high priest. You understand? And so where does Thanksgiving take you? Thanksgiving takes you to the feet of the priest. The high priest who's given his life for us. And so what does it show? It shows that in order to be thankful, you have to have a revelation that someone has done something good for you. Amen. And if you don't have a revelation, like, for instance, atheists in the world today, God created all things. Not only did he create all things, but he sustains all things. He gives to all, Acts 17, life, breath, and all things. Acts 17 says that he gives to all life, breath. That means if you're breathing today, it's because God wants you to. You say, oh, no, no, it's biological synapses and everything going on in my brain and all that. Okay, we're going to see about that. No, it's because he wants you to be here. Okay, so luck now. I know what luck is. You ever say, I was lucky today. Luck speaks of situations or of what happens to you. But gratitude speaks of persons and what someone does for you. Okay? Situations, or God changes situations. Okay? But situations do not change him. And so, God and thanksgiving are greater than luck. I'm going to say, I was lucky. You lucky today. Bible says time and chance happen to us all. Ecclesiastes says that. But we're not thankful when we're lucky. What do you think? When people are lucky, what do they think? Oh, I thank my lucky stars. No, I don't think so. Stars can't hear you. Yeah, I'm grateful that this piano was here when I started to fall. By the way, I fell last week. I told the church that last week. I was walking to my car, rained, walking down a muddy hill, and I'm walking all of a sudden, whoop! Next thing I know, I'm down. Now I'm 54 years old. You don't want to be falling when you're my age. But I fell down. And I fell down. I'm sprawling in the mud. And when I got up, I didn't say, oh, how lucky I am. Right. I didn't say how lucky I am. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So when I got up, I shook my hand. Said, it's working, Jesus. Shook this one. I said, I'm out there in the dark. Oh, thank you. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to work, Lord, provided I don't fall again. But I'm going to work. And I thank God. And so when Kweku, he's not here today, but he stood up the other day and said to us, he said, you know, Pastor, I got up out of my bed this morning. Then he stopped. And then we got it. We said, hey, hallelujah, glory. You see, because when you keep getting up out of your bed every day, you start to take it for granted. Let me tell you where Thanksgiving comes from. It comes from, you know, the day when you wake up and you can't get out the bed. Anybody ever had that happen? Anybody ever had their sciatica nerve? I woke up one day. My family had gone to North Carolina. I was the only one in the house. And I woke up to go to work. And I moved my leg like that. I know you didn't see that. But that's how far I moved my leg. And a pain shot up my back so strong, it told me, you won't move your leg again. Amen. That's what the pain said. And I was about to agree with it. I was like, Lord Jesus. I said, Father, I got all this work. How am I going to work today? And I'm lying in bed, and I just started talking to you, started praying. Amen. I said, Father, Lord, there's no one here to help me. If you don't help me, it ain't going to get done today. And I laid there for 30 minutes in prayer. And 30 minutes later, I threw that leg out the bed and got out of the bed. I said, now, Father, I give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. You know, every day is not a given. Every day is not a given. Every day is a gift. It is a gift, right? And we need to treat it like a gift. And what do you say when somebody gives you something? Thank you. So that tells me that every day we get up now, what are we saying? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You've given me another day because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Hello. And so Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. 2 Timothy 2:1, all these New Testament references to the apostles commanding us or instructing us to give thanks. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That includes that supervisor. That bad supervisor, that mean one. Hello? Am I getting too close to home? That employee, that coworker that gets on you, give thanks. Thank you, Father, that I used to be like that. That's right. I used to be mean, but look what you did. You had mercy on me. Father, I thank you for this person, and I'm going to pray for them. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the life of the Christian. The life of the Christian is one of thanksgiving. Amen. What we are commanded to do by God, we are inclined to do by the power of God working in us. And so his commandments are not grievous, 1 John tells us, right? Thanksgiving and gratitude is what the creature owes to his creator. Thanksgiving and gratitude is what the creature owes to his creator. For it is an acknowledgement of the goodness of God toward his creation. A person who does not give thanks to God is a person who doesn't believe that God is good toward them. Say it again. A person who does not give thanks to God is a person who doesn't believe that God is, number one, or that God is good toward them. But Psalm 145, verse 9, I love the scripture, says that the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. That's why it takes a revelation to be thankful, because God can be good to everybody, but if you don't know that he's good to you, you won't give him thanks. That's where the atheist lies and many of the unbelievers lie, because they don't know that God is good to them every day. So they don't give thanks. But the scripture says that God is good to all. His tender mercies are over all of his works. We partake of the tender mercies of God every day. All day. That's why the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. Hello. In Acts 14, Paul was saying this account. You remember when Paul was had healed the lame man, and the people of the city, they were idol worshippers. These men came to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because they didn't know God. They were idolaters. They didn't know anything about God. And so they said, the gods have come down to us, speaking about Paul and Barnabas. Or Paul and Silas at this point. Probably was Paul and Silas. And Paul rushed in to them and said, men, why are you doing these things? We're also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, and who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness. God never leaves himself without witness. In that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And so, it is the goodness of God that causes thanksgiving, that causes gratitude. And but if one doesn't know that that goodness is coming from God, it won't be attributed to God, right? Matthew 5:45 says that God, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Luke 6:35, Jesus told the disciples, but love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. We are men and now. When was the last time you lent somebody some money and hoped for nothing in return? Come on, let's be honest. That's not how we do it. That's not how we do it. We lend that money, and if that money's not forthcoming later on, we like, hey, man. Yeah. What's going on, man? I lent you the money. Okay, so give me my money back. And if you don't, I'll see you. I'm going to see you. Years ago, I had a brother in the church come to me. He says, hey, man, my car needs some work. This is umpteen years ago. Can you lend me $300? Respectable person. Good job. On and on. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you see, back then, I was of the mindset. See, it was Melody's father who told me years ago. He says, Pat, when you lend money, don't make it a loan. Make it a gift. Because when you lend money, there's an expectation that you're going to get it back. And we know what happens when you have unfulfilled expectations. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so things begin to go awry when you have unfulfilled expectations. So I lend him the money fully expecting in a few months to get it back. A few months came and went. Brother packed up his family, moved across the country. Have a little bit too much fun, sister. And I'm sitting there going, and this was a brother in the Lord. And I'm sitting there going, no, Lord, I ain't doing good with this. I'm really not feeling this. This got me upset. And so I learned something. And so Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Now, here's why he said that. And your reward will be great. You know, there's so much in the scripture that we don't get. But if we got it, let me ask you something. Who would you rather pay you back? The person you lent to or God? Hello? Come on. Now, I don't know if you know about, but let me tell you something about him. He always gives back more than what you gave. He always gives back more. Don't believe me? Check out the book of Job. Double portion. Hello. He gave him back more. And so that we can be thankful, let me finish. I didn't finish my scripture. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So if he's kind to the unthankful and the evil, guess what we ought to be? Thank you. We ought to be kind to the unthankful and the evil. So now when I'm at work and I do something and the person doesn't regard me, I smile. I just said, because this is what we must understand. God sees everything. He knows everything. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I don't want you to think about repaying the evil person, but think about you being repaid. God says, I'm gonna reward you for what I saw you do. So you don't have to be concerned with someone else and get all up in our feelings about someone didn't do me right. And I'm all hot and bothered by it. No, we don't have to go there anymore. I said this earlier, it is impossible to know God and not be thankful. And when that thought crossed my mind, it was a prophet from the Old Testament that jumped up in my mind who was not a very grateful prophet because he was angry. But his name was Jonah. And you'll remember, Jonah didn't want to do anything God said. He said, go preach to the Ninevites. He said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah went to Tarshish. He went 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. Went down to Joppa to get on a boat going to Tarshish. And he wasn't very thankful to God until when he got thrown overboard, God prepared a fish to swallow him up. Jonah didn't want to listen to anything God told him to do until that fish swallowed him up. And some even believe that Jonah perished at the bottom of those waters, that he actually died in the belly of the fish. And that's why Jesus said that this evil generation seeking for a sign, and no sign shall be given unto it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was a sign to the Jews. Jesus said that as Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of, in the heart of the earth. So some scholars believe that Jonah actually perished. But when God commanded that fish to spit Jonah up out on land, Jonah got up out that fish. Let me tell you what, he was a transformed brother. He come up out there, oh, thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. I mean, after being half eaten up by acid and no hair and probably white as a ghost and smelling like who would have thought of it. But he was thankful after he come up out that fish, you see. Why? Because it's impossible to know God and be unthankful. Later on, Jonah would go up on the hill to see God wipe out, in his hopes, wipe out this nation. And God, the sun was blasting down on Jonah. And God prepared a plant that grew up over Jonah. Jonah's sitting there and this plant comes up over his head. He goes, thank you. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. But then the next morning, God prepared a worm to eat up the plant. And now the sun's beating on his head. And then the scripture says God prepared an east wind, which brought the heat, and it beat down on Jonah's head. And that's a whole another story in itself. But why was Jonah then thankful? He was thankful because God is good. God is good. Amen. Psalm 136 is a whole psalm that they wrote about. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And that's what it keeps repeating, for his mercy endures forever, for his mercy endures forever, for his mercy endures forever. Why? Because he made all that there is. He struck Egypt and Pharaoh. He set the Israelites free. He brought them through the wilderness for 40 years. And then the next to the last verse says, he gives food to all flesh. You know, years ago when I was a young man in the church and I was working at Giant Food. And I was working nights and the graveyard shift. And I did that for almost 4 years. And I started praying because I didn't like what I was doing. I said, Lord, I want another job. This isn't, I don't feel good. And so I met a guy in this church who had bought and owned the business that I now own. I worked for him. And the Lord brought me out of Giant into this carpet cleaning. And I said to myself, I'll spend a year here. This isn't for me, and then I'll move on. That was 30 years ago. I'm still cleaning carpet. It's not a negative thing. It's a real good thing. I said it to say this, because as I talk to the Lord all day long, as you do, come on, you talk to Jesus, you talk to your Father, your Master all day long, and when I read the scripture that says God provides for everyone, what does that look like? I'll tell you what that looks like. It looks like a guy who's working at Giant who had no idea that God had a gig lined up for him. God had a place cleaning carpet. It never entered my mind. Hello. It's not. But God knew. And what? As I'm talking to the Father, and I'm looking at everyone, I said, Lord, you provide for everyone. He's like, that's right. Everybody. And every one of us has been equipped to do something with the gifts and the talents and abilities that God has given us. And he's going to provide for us through as we use those talents, gifts, and abilities. Everybody. Everybody. It's just a wonderful thing to see him providing for everyone. And however long it may take you to find it, it's there. The last verse of Psalm 136 says, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. One cannot thank God unless one believes in God. And belief in God leads to knowing God. This does not happen without God revealing himself to man. Right? How does God reveal himself to man? We're talking about the revelation of thanksgiving, right? How does God reveal himself to man? And one scripture that I love so much and we are so fond of, we know it very well. I can just start reading it and you can finish it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows forth knowledge. Amen. And so the scripture says, and as I like to, when my children were young, I like to tell them, God's handprint is on everything he creates. Amen. So that everything he creates is stamped with his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's why man can't understand it. He can look at it. Man been looking up in the stars from the day he was born. Man's been looking up at the stars trying to figure it out. And if you can't figure that out, guess what? You're not going to be able to figure out the one who created it all. But his glory is contained in the heavens. And the scripture says there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Isn't that beautiful? There is no speech nor language. When you walk outside and you look up at the clouds, you look up at the stars, you look up at the heavens, God speaks every language. That's called general revelation. It's sent to everyone. Anyone who's ever had eyes to see and could walk outside and look up at the heavens, they're seeing the glory of God. And God's revealing himself in that glory. Their line has gone throughout the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. Their words to the end of the world. General revelation. That's how God reveals himself to man. That's how when missionaries got up in the jungles of the Amazon to a tribe that had never seen anyone outside of their tribe, yet they were in there worshiping God. How did they know him? Well, they said others by general revelation, they just came to know God through the glory of the heavens. Others had angels appear to them and bring the word of the Lord to them. But then the second half of Psalm 19 mentions specific revelation. And that word was only given to Israel. It was the scriptures, right? It was the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so God, both through general revelation, specific revelation, the word of God came to Israel. And then in John chapter 1, the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the final and perfect revelation of God the Father. He's the perfect revelation of who God is. And that word, along with him, that word was entrusted to us, the church, right? So God reveals himself to man. And when man gets a revelation of God, the first place he ought to go, the first place we find him going, is a place of thanksgiving. And so with that said, let me read, as I like to do. I've done this for years. I'm going to do it again today. That even though we're an imperfect nation, as every other nation is, when our presidents have given Thanksgiving proclamations, we see them acknowledge the goodness of God and the hand of God. Listen at what George Washington said in 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Now, I want you to listen to how many references. I want to listen to how many times these people, though fallible for sure, okay, not seeing it all for sure. But listen, just listen at the references. Where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will. To obey his will is specific revelation. You have to have specific revelation. The heavens do not declare the specific revelation of God. It's general revelation. But the word of God, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. That's specific revelation. And to obey God's will, that's what he's speaking about. To be grateful for his benefits and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish and form a government, form of government for their safety and happiness. When I'm reading this yesterday, I'm thinking about the wildfires in California. And I think it's hard for us to really grasp what they're going through, but I was coming home the other day listening to a man, and it had me in tears, who went to try and rescue his wife who couldn't drive. And he told the police officer who was blocking the road, he said, she has no cell phone, she only has the house phone. She cannot drive. She's up in the house. I left her there this morning. Please let me go get her. Police officer told him, you turn that truck around, you are not getting in here. And I'm coming down the road listening to this, and everything about this story has you up, and you're hoping and for the end. And he says, I'm praying. I've been praying for my wife. And the reporter is with him as he's going there. He says, I've been praying for her, and I hope that the cats and dogs and everything. And he says, yeah, that house is there. That's good. And that's good. And he turns the corner, and he burst out in tears. And he said, oh, my God, my house, my wife. He says, it's all gone. And this man is crying and crying, my God, the pain, human suffering. This man lost, and he said to the officer, he says, it's just right up the road. If you just let me go, I can get her. And the officer said, no, can't let you do it. Whew. I thought to myself, whew. And it's such a hard time that as I'm reading this and I'm hearing him say that to observe a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. When was the last time a president urged us to pray? Now, therefore, I do commend and assign Thursday the 26th of the November next to be devoted to the people of these states, to the service of that great and glorious being. The service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war. And I mean, it goes on. Let me read a little bit more. For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty for which we have since enjoyed. In other words, all that the blessings, all that America was enjoying, the president was acknowledging that God came at God's hand. He wasn't saying, oh, we're the greatest nation on the earth, which I hear so much over the years. I've heard, we're the greatest nation. We have the most powerful military on the planet. I say, would y'all please stop that nonsense? Stop it. Psalm 33 says God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. He doesn't put any trust in a horse. Hello. Our protection comes from God. All that we have comes from his hand. He goes on and says, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty for which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge in the general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Think, my God. Now, we know there's some darkness there, some things. George Washington had slaves. Come on, we know. Listen, and that was a blind spot. Come on, for that time and that era. Do you know that every generation has a blind spot? Do you know that I can see something you can't see? You know what it is? It's what's behind you. You can't see it. And when you turn around to look behind you, you can't see what's behind you. You can see something I can't see. It's what's behind me. No generation has perfect justice or understanding. And it was in the words right there when he said that God is the author of all good that was, that is, or that will be. Because even though George Washington had slaves, that was not good. But God caused the good of slaves being set free to come about. There are people being oppressed today because of our inability to see clearly and judge righteously. And if God should tarry, he's going to set those people free. Why? Because God frees the oppressed. God's eyes are on the oppressed peoples. You don't think so? Read your Bible. Read your Bible, right? So, oh my goodness. What time is it? Oh, it's only 12, y'all. Come on. Remember? 3:30, 4 o'clock. Let me finish this. Let me finish it up. Give me 5 more minutes. Let me finish this, right? Goes on and says, and also that we may unite in the most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations. My God. And beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. Can I just read that again? That our offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. Do we have national transgressions today? Yes, we do. Can we talk about them? No. No, we cannot talk about them. But some things God doesn't ask your permission to talk about things. And when he'll have somebody else, you know, start a Me Too movement and say, you know what, this is not right. And he'll have somebody else start a Black Lives Matter and say, you know what? This is not right. But all kinds of things will happen, and God will stir things up. Read Lincoln's second inaugural address, where he prophesied God moving in the United States of America. To enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Oh, I wish it were that way, that God would give you the prosperity that he sees best, and that we wouldn't have men running around worth $150 billion, but some of their employees can't even afford to rent a condo. Hello. But that God would distribute what we need. Amen. I'm not getting down on anybody. I'm just saying that there's a right way to have things to, you know, you have so much wealth. I heard someone say the other day, this man has so much wealth, five generations of his family would never be able to spend the money that he's worth today. How on earth does one person need all that money? But we're in America, yo. We're in America where the prosperity is not, I don't recognize it as God giving me what I need. We're in America where the more I can get from you is mine to keep. All right, did I say 5 minutes? I did. Give me five more minutes. I'm closing. I have one more Thanksgiving proclamation to read, and it's not as long as the first one. But this is Abraham Lincoln's proclamation, October 3rd, 1863. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthy skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. Did you hear that? I know that's wordy. But in a nutshell, what he was saying was, he says, listen, all the blessings that we have comes from God, and even though we're prone to forget his daily blessings, he's blessed us so much more beyond that it won't fail to soften even the hard-hearted person, their heart, to see that it's the mighty hand of God who has blessed us in the ways that he has. He goes on and says, in the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and the navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal and of precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than before. Now, as I say again, the good that God was doing for this nation then, there were still inequities that abounded. We understand that. So that the Indians, you know, it says our borders are being enlarged. Those borders were being enlarged into the Indians who had lived there, who were already occupying the land. And so, you know, God in his time causes people to see their misguidedness and their injustices, right? And should the Lord tarry, we'll be looking back on these times. We'll be looking back on the generation before us saying, you know what? They didn't have it quite right. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, should the Lord tarry, someone's going to be talking about us and saying, you know what? Those people were blind with regard to this. And so we have to remain humble when it comes to dealing with our brethren and judging them, because we find ourselves in the same situation. He goes on and he says, let me get back to it here. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. Then he says this, no human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. No human counsel has devised, nor any mortal hand brought about these great things. So the President of the United States acknowledging that God was the one who drove it all. God was the one who brought it all to pass in our nation. And this is Thanksgiving. I'm reading an article in the Washington Post yesterday, and it's okay to have variations, but some people are turning Thanksgiving into Friendsgiving. Amen. So Friendsgiving comes about when, because obviously Thanksgiving in our nation was rooted, as I'm reading to you, rooted in Thanksgiving to God, Almighty God. Okay. So now, if you don't believe in God, come on. Now that may be what the atheists feel, but Friendsgiving happened when a college student, as the article I was reading, a college student couldn't go back home for Thanksgiving, so he had to spend Thanksgiving in his dorm, and he invited some friends over, and they just hung out together. And they started calling it Friendsgiving. So as Christians, we have to be careful not to get mean and ugly and start to go, they're not calling it Christmas anymore. Remember scriptures I was saying earlier, you know, Christians get all mean and I hate you. Leave Christmas alone. Happy holidays. I'm gonna kill, you know, all this. Come on, man. Christ is greater. Love prevails. You don't have to say Christmas. You know, listen, you don't have to say Christmas, because when I fall up in your house, Christ is in your crib. I'm telling you right now, when I come in your house, Christ is in your crib. And there ain't nothing you can do. So when I go to clean carpet, when I go to clean carpet, and I fall up in the house, I know who's up in there. And when he tells me to say this, when he tells me to do that, then I say it. And guess what? He'll be like, how'd you know that? How'd you know that? It doesn't matter. No matter how I knew it. And so, you know, Christians, we need to, you know, the world's going to do all this. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus say, fight for Christmas. Don't let them change the name. He didn't say that, church. That's it. He said, love your enemies. Y'all had the Starbucks. You had Starbucks change the color of the cup. They changed the color of the cup. You remember that last year? People were going losing their mind. I'm sitting up here saying, Father of mercies, please help us. Please help us. People getting all mixed up about a cup, color of a cup. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. Who, this is a president of the United States saying this, church. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Oh, my God, oh Lord. Closest we got to that was Ronald Reagan, as far as I know. But this guy is calling, you know, George Washington called him the ruler of nations and all this. But Lincoln goes further and calls him our beneficent father who rules in the heaven. Come on, we're talking about relationship. It's one thing to be provided for. It's another thing to have relationship. Amen? And so Lincoln called him our beneficent father. Oh, my. And he says, almost done, and I recommend to them that while offering up the inscriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Man, try that on now. Try telling America now, you perverse. Ooh, you're not tolerant. Oh, no, you're done. He says that to do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation. Are we a wounded nation right now? We tore up. We are tore up. Hating one another. Killing one another. And to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Thanksgiving. And so, as always, I like to encourage us when we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table. Look. Somebody called this team America's team. It is not about football. Thanksgiving is not about football. I know you're going to have the TV on, you know. Take time. I like to go around the table. Honey, what you think? Sugar, what you think? Son, what you think? Go around the table. Let's take time. Just giving God thanks. And acknowledging that it's Him who has brought us through this year. Him who has carried us. I'll never forget on 9/11 where I was. I had an employee who had just got finished a job in D.C. He had come down 395. He was just driving down 395, regular any old regular day. And he said, Pat, in my rearview mirror, I saw a jumbo jet fly across the back of my truck and hit the Pentagon. And he said, it scared me so bad, I floored the truck. I floored it and got down 395 as fast as I knew how. He was that close to being up and out of here. And so we must give God thanks. We must give God thanks, because when I slipped in the yard the other day, that could have been it for me. You don't understand. I could have broke this, broke that. I could have all kinds of things happened. Did you hear what happened to Pastor? You know? But we have to give God thanks and praise. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you now. And we thank you for every opportunity, Lord, that we get to think about you. Because your word says that I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And Father, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that Christ the Son would fill, Lord, that your presence would fill us and keep our hearts and our minds, Lord, on rested in peace, rested on the Prince of Peace. Oh God, Lord, found in you, captured by you, kept by you. I pray, oh God, for your will in every life here today, in every home, in every family, in every marriage. I pray and I give you thanks, oh God, for your goodness, for your will and your purpose, Lord, that you have toward each and every one of us. And may you be delighted in bringing your will to pass in each home, we pray. Bless our nation. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins and grant us repentance to life.
we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.